Welcome to the Balance Bites podcast with Diane Sanfilippo and Liz Wolf. Diane is a New York Times bestselling author of Practical Paleo, the 21-Day Sugar Detox, and co-author of Mediterranean Paleo Cooking. Liz is the best-selling author of Eat the Yolks and the Skintervention Guide. Together, Diane and Liz answer your questions, interview leading health and wellness experts, and share their take on modern paleo living with their signature-friendly and balanced approach. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hey friends, welcome to Balance Bites podcast number 173. It's post-New Year, and this one is all about challenges. I think it's an official challenge month for a lot of people, so we're going to address some questions about that. But first, hi, Diane.
Hey.
I feel like it's been a while since I've talked to you because you've been in some horrible place in some horrible part of the world doing horrible, boring things with terrible people.
It was horrible every minute. No, it was amazing. I'm so tan. But the funny thing is, Scott and I were joking. I was telling him, I'm like, oh, we're going to be so tan. We go back to the gym. He's like, dude, everyone at the gym is so tan. We're in New Jersey.
And we live in New Jersey. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
Cool. Well, let's do a little word from our sponsors. We have some amazing sponsors who make this podcast possible. We've handpicked them. We want you to know about them. First up, I want to thank Vital Choice for sponsoring the podcast and also encourage everybody to visit their online store at vitalchoice.com. You'll find an amazing array of some of the world's best seafood, including wild Alaskan salmon, halibut, tuna, sablefish, cod, prawns. I don't think I've ever had prawns. Have you had prawns? They're like giant shrimp or tiny lobsters. I don't know.
Giant teddy bear, bigger
than
you
like
are.
They're like fancy crayfish. I don't know. Crab, scallops, sustainably harvested shellfish. These are not just delicious foods, but they're also vital choices for your health, hence the name. You'll also find grass-fed organic Wagyu beef, live fermented foods to promote gut health, fresh frozen organic berries, and dark organic chocolates. Vital Choice offers you healing foods that you'll love. They're offering our listeners 15% off any order using code BALANCEDBITES. Remember that orders of $99 or more ship for free. This year, we hope you gave the gift of health from Vital Choice. And if you didn't, it's not too late. Sorry, I'm a little rusty. And next up, Pete's Paleo. The 21-Day Sugar Detox is great for your body in so many ways, but consistently feeding yourself right can be a challenge. Pete's Paleo makes delicious, seasonal, ready-to-eat meals that strictly follow the 21-DSD program. They are shipped directly to your door, ready to go. Let Pete's Paleo help you with your 21-DSD success, and don't forget that their bacon is also sugar-free. Coupons for Pete's Paleo, 5 off 21-DSD. That's a coupon code for $5 off 21-DSD meals, and 5 off Pete's Paleo is a coupon code for $5 off regular Pete's Paleo meals. And finally, a sponsor that I'm thrilled about, Dragonfly Traditions, natural nourishing skincare with absolutely no unnecessary chemicals. It's natural nutrition for the skin. Folks know that I'm a huge fan of Dragonfly. I love their serum, their night cream, among other things. The stuff is amazing. It just goes on so beautifully and makes my skin really soft and happy. I just can't recommend Dragonfly Traditions or the owner, Phoebe, enough. If you head over to dragonflytraditions.com and add Balanced Bites to your shopping cart for one penny, Phoebe will not only send you 2 free lip balms with your order, but she'll also send you that penny back. You'll literally get a penny in your order.
I've seen folks posting a picture and I was like, oh, she really did send a penny back.
You know what I've thought about recently?
Hilarious.
I love it. I love things. I love mailed like surprises, pleasant surprises in the mail.
You should come live at my house.
Oh my gosh. I ordered like one thing from Nordstrom the other day and it's coming in 5 shipments. Which That's is like crazy. Half the reason I even order from Nordstrom, because I get a million shipments. But I've been thinking about, you know how we lament how, you know, Facebook and newsletters don't always reach people that want to get them. I'm thinking I should just start sending real letters to people.
Do it.
Right?
To all of those people.
Yeah. So I'm going to need
all 10 of
50,000 stamps and So maybe I haven't really thought it out, but I think that would be fun. Just get a little letter from me.
It would be. Now everyone listening is going to be looking for a letter from Liz Wolf.
Oh, geez.
I am.
TP.
You better send me one.
Didn't I send you a thank you note at some point in our friendship?
Thank you for being a friend.
Probably.
Travel down the road, back again.
Do you do thank you notes? I did when I was trying to impress my future mother-in-law, but then she became my mother-in-law and I kind of fell off.
I don't know that I'm really sent a lot of gifts that I would send a card for.
Everybody gives you stuff you hate.
No, I mean, people, I get a lot of things sent to me that are kind of just like unsolicited random things from companies. But I, you know, I don't know. I think I like handwriting notes, but if it's kind of like a little token that someone has sent me, I'll kind of send them a text or call them and just say thanks. I received a Chipotle gift card in the mail yesterday. Well, I opened it yesterday. And I sent my friend a text with a picture of our meal from Chipotle. So that was kind of my thanks. It was very nice to come home to, not have to cook a dinner when we had no groceries. But yeah, I don't know.
Thank you cards are nice, but we did just get this card in the mail the other day. And I was like, is there a check in it? And my husband was like, no. I was like, why don't they just give us the $250 instead of going and buying that card?
I know. I mean, I actually really do love sending thank you notes, but yeah, sometimes I'm just like, well, this is more paper than I need to be using. And yeah.
You're so environmentally minded.
If you could see the piles of paper on my table right now, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that.
All right. So what's new with you?
What's new? All right. This episode is going to be airing on, I guess it'll be January 8th. So the official 21 DSD for January has kicked off and it's a huge group and I'm super excited. And I'm excited because I know we're going to be talking all about challenges today because we have tons of questions and thoughts and opinions and all that good stuff that kind of circulate. So that's the first thing that's new. And I'm really excited because we also launched while I was on vacation. For anyone who thinks that I actually ever take time off, it's totally not true. But vacation is still relaxing for me, even if I do some work. But I'm just absolutely insane. And I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. So
you are indignant, but you're not sorry.
I'm sorry. Hashtag sorry. I'm not sorry.
Hashtag vocab.
I really like what I do. So it's not, you know, I don't like dread it. But anyway, so we kicked off a 21 DSD coaches program and I just launched a beta version. So essentially it's kind of like a test group. It's a small group. It's just over around 100 people. And we're just kind of getting that rolling. So I just want to put the word out. If you're interested in becoming a coach, you can join the Facebook group. I'll be posting more information about it there as it becomes available. And we're going to be going through just a bunch of testing with the folks who signed up really early for it and making sure that the materials are all kind of where we want them to be and that they're effective and useful for everyone who's out there going to coach folks on the program. And I'm just really excited about that. Just there's been a really great response so far. And even the handful of folks who've gone into the program and looked at our, you know, main kind of handbook for it are just really excited about it. And I'm excited about that. So there's that. And a couple other points of news. I found out yesterday from our publisher, we have the same publisher, that Practical Paleo was the number 6 best-selling cookbook in 2014. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Dang.
Crazy pants. Kind of just running behind Ina Garten. She's just, I don't know who all watches the Food Network. I've watched it for pretty much forever. She is the Barefoot Contessa, and her book basically came out, I don't know, a few months ago and just has been crushing it. It's just everywhere. Everywhere you turn, you see Ina Garten, if you're looking at cookbooks at all. But she and the Pioneer Woman were kind of in the top few. Pioneer Woman, I think, had 2. Then the Thug Kitchen Cookbook. I don't know if you've heard of it. Really cool, fun idea, but it's all plant-based. So I'm kind of like, meh. And then Skinny Taste Cookbook was another one that was right ahead of Practical Paleo. And that one's kind of like a low-fat cookbook. I feel like it's the only low-fat cookbook out there that's kind of hanging on. But really Paleo kind of representing with Practical Paleo at the number 6. And I was like, holy cow. That is just, it kind of blows my mind, but it's awesome. I mean, I think it's really cool that we have that representation.
Yeah, very cool. So,
Yeah. And then just quickly, a couple of events I have coming up. So one is this weekend right here near me in Wayne, New Jersey. I'm going to be signing books at the Costco. So that's kind of my local store, and I'll be there for a couple of hours. I'm not exactly sure what time. I want to say it's probably like 12 or 1 to 2 or 3. Check my website, and there's an Eventbrite listing. You can RSVP there. And if you don't have a membership, you can come in with a friend, or you can grab a gift card, I think, ahead of time, or just ask for a day pass. I think they'll probably let you in. And then Friday, the 23rd of January, I'll be in Salt Lake City at the Barnes & Noble Sugar House at 7 p.m. Super excited about that. I have not done an event in Salt Lake City ever. So hopefully I will see you there. And I think that's pretty much what I wanted to update folks on. What's new with you, my friend?
Well, I guess a couple weeks ago on Christmas, I dropped a little bomb and then kind of walked away on the podcast.
Yeah. And then did it actually get out?
I don't know. I mean, I've had some like people mention it. I think people are kind of picking up on it. I haven't been so much dropping hints, just as like I've been pregnant for long enough now that it's like really difficult to not inject certain like anecdotes into everyday conversation, especially in the interviews I've been doing for Real Food Liz Radio. I've been talking to parents and things like that. So, you know, it'll drop in there. And then I put a little something in the newsletter that went out. Email Monday that went out yesterday, January 5th, which by the way, the newsletter that went out yesterday, it was about New Year's resolutions, and I've gotten amazing feedback on it. I had no idea that it would be that impactful for people, but I was getting text messages and Facebook messages and emails. And so if you missed it, go sign up for Email Monday at realfoodliz.com and you'll get the link to the archive so you can go back and you can read it.
Awesome. So, yeah. Yeah. We both have archives in our email, and that was one thing I think not this past week, but the one before. So yours go out Monday, mine go out Sunday, but it wasn't this week that I talked about it, but the previous week I had talked about like tips and tricks for like handling the new year. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Like everyone was just really excited about the ideas and the advice and all of that. So I think it's just a really good time to kind of talk about all of this stuff.
So back to my uterus. Mm-hmm. I am with child. As my friend Quinn calls it, I have a uterus thing. And I'm super excited. I think people are a little surprised that I haven't been sharing more about it. And I did want to just remark on that quickly. It's been, you know, obviously people know that I'm passionate about fertility and all that stuff. And I have been for a really long time. And I've got the Baby Making and Beyond program in the works. It's going to be out hopefully by the summer. You just never know with these types of things. But I'm working with an amazing midwife and friend who's just a genius, and she's all over the project as well. And that'll come out eventually. Head over to babymakingandbeyond.com. You can sign up for the email list to get notified when it's ready to go. But I think a lot of people will understand that you can tell people what to do all day long, but then when it's you, it becomes a little bit different. And what I mean by that is I love talking about fertility and pregnancy and healthy babies and things like that, but this was my journey. It just was not for blog fodder to me. And it's been an amazing time. It's been just very meditative and sweet and just this amazing time for me and my family. And that's why I played it close to the vest for a while. I wasn't trying to like hide it or anything like that. It was just so much of what I do is already just dumped onto the internet. And now this will be dumped onto the internet, and the kid doesn't really have a choice. So I'm just kind of just playing it close to the vest for a while and enjoying this time. And hopefully everybody can understand that. If you want to kind of know where I am in the pregnancy timeline, I'm like post being able to feel this baby hiccup inside of my body, which is a trip. It's like, Hey,
that's crazy.
That's what it feels like. And I'm like pre giving birth. So anybody knows about where that would put me, then you'll have an idea. I'm kind of right in like the, what were we thinking? Like coordinates.
The like, oh no, this thing's going to come out soon.
It literally has to come out. And then I have to keep it alive. Which will be great. It's a very exciting time, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. You know, I will share more. People have been really hungry for like how I handled things, what I'm doing with labor and delivery and a lot of other questions that have come up. And I will share that stuff. I will likely share it mostly within baby making and beyond, because as we know, we put things on the internet and they are, it's like peeing in a pool. And like I said, the kiddo doesn't have a choice. So I do want to kind of put that extra layer of like, well, who really wants this information and this look into what I did and my journal and what I did for the whole, you know, oral glucose tolerance stuff and things like that. I probably will keep that within baby making and beyond, just because I really do want to keep that information for the people that really want it and need it. And it's important to me that I at least put a little bit of a layer between just dumping everything out for people.
I think the context is appropriate there too. Like just sharing about it on your Facebook page and then everyone and their sister is commenting, which we welcome typically. But on that type of stuff, I really do think kind of like a safe space for the conversation really makes sense. I think that's awesome. I can't wait to see the program.
100%. Yeah, it'll be fun. And other than that, Eat the Yolks is out on audiobook and people have been excited about it. I got a review from my mom. She says, I'm better than Stockard Channing, who did the Ramona Quimby books. So that's huge.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. So grab the audiobook and please let me know that you did. I would be very grateful. All right. So we've got some shout outs today. Hey.
Hey.
This is one we have been just cracking up about for a week.
We have. We've been sitting on it, but then we were like, oh, we have to share this. And then we had so much other stuff going on, but I'm really excited. I don't know if she has a website, but I'm going to say her name and then she can let us know if we somehow missed her website, or you can let me know. Amy Spofford. I wouldn't know how else to pronounce
and
that.
Now she's on the internet.
She's on the internets. She did a paleo rap parody to Tupac's Changes. And holy bejeebas, this girl's awesome. And I think she has some cojones for recording this rap video. Like, I'm watching it and just, I mean, she's probably rehearsed it quite a bit because she is just on point.
She's so smooth.
Yeah, really smooth. So we'll definitely link to it. I'll see if we can get a small clip of it into the podcast. I think that would be really fun for you guys to hear little bits of it. But she basically takes, if you've been a longtime listener, she takes little clips of our advice and has worked it into this rap song. Do you have a favorite line? I feel like you kind of like wrote a line to me that was one of your favorites.
So
and I
much
don't know where
good.
I put it.
My one of my favorites, the one that I was like, oh my God. She goes, it's time for us as a people to start making some bone broth.
Oh, gosh. It's really good. And I don't know. And I was listening to it. I was just like, wow, she's really been listening. You know, like it's pretty awesome. So I think our longtime listeners will love that. And if you're not a longtime listener, but you're a paleo peep or you're new to paleo, I think you'll love it, too. And I think she gave us the lyric somewhere. So maybe I'll try and get that attached at the end of the transcript for this podcast. If you go to balancebites.com or realfoodliz.com, you want to check it out. I don't think she put the lyrics on her YouTube, but we'll definitely link you guys to the YouTube as well. So that's our shout out to Amy. Amy, thank you so much. That was amazing. Awesome. We loved it. Hilarious. You freaking rock.
Now I see some changes. Mixing my kombucha flavors. Puts me in probiotic cases. We under. I wonder what it takes to make this. One SCOBY and hope we don't get wasted. Take the poison at the people. They be feeling right. Cause both yolk and white make us whole tonight. And we need omega-3 salmon, sardines, and butter. AB, calcium, and D. It's time to heal each other.
All right. As if things could get any cooler this week in the real food paleosphere, Kristen Cavallari totally kind of shouted out Eat the Yolks a little bit.
So awesome.
On her app. I don't think she has a website. Okay, Kristen Cavallari, she's from...
Excuse me, our listeners better know who Kristen Cavallari is. Just kidding.
I almost said Orange County. She's from Laguna Beach, yeah?
Laguna Beach, yeah.
And she's married to Jay Cutler for football fans. You just kind of put the little Cavallari map together. These are all things I learned last night when my friend texted me that Kristen Cavallari had shouted me out in her app. But she's got an app, and it's actually, I was kind of, you know, I wasn't sure what I was in for, but I opened up her app, and at the very front, it's got like this whole post on fermented foods. She seems to be very kind of crunchy and holistic. And then she pretty much summarized a pretty big chunk of my book and then linked out to this HuffPost article that I was quoted in. And I was like, dang, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I just love seeing when, you know, either mainstream media is picking up stuff or, you know, especially folks in these different communities where, you know, we might have some assumptions that the way that they're eating is not embracing all of these kind of traditional approaches. And then we're surprised pleasantly. And I think that that's really awesome. I just love seeing that because I think that the type of readers that she might have or fans, you know, they're probably not getting this information in another way. So I think it's pretty awesome.
Pretty sweet. Thanks, Kristen. Okay, so this week, the meat of the show, we're talking all about nutrition challenges like a 21-day sugar detox or a strict 30-day paleo challenge, for example. You got, Diane, you put up this question. Every once in a while, we'll just shout out for questions on the Facebook page. I didn't even need to put the question on my page because you got crazy response to your questions about this.
People are really... There's a lot of questions. A lot of them were really similar to each other. And a lot of people were commenting like, yes, I'm echoing that person. So we have kind of the gist of it, I think, in our boiled down handful of questions here. But yeah, this is a huge topic. And I think it's very relevant and timely because, you know, we're recording this essentially the first week of January. And this is when everyone's kind of diving into a challenge or resolutions or whatnot. And I'm really definitely pleased to see that response because, you know, we definitely want to interact with you guys and see what's on your mind. So thank you to everyone who posted a comment.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about this before, but I think almost 200 podcasts in, it's always good to, I don't know, just kind of bring the topic back out fresh and talk about it again, but let's discuss the pros and the cons of challenges, like who might be a good fit for a challenge and who might not be a good fit for a challenge. Stacy of Paleo Parents just published a post, I believe, about how, for example, for her, the challenge mindset became a little bit toxic for her. It kind of was an excuse to have this orthorexic relationship with food that was really unhealthy and maybe in some ways as unhealthy as whatever she'd been doing before. So they're not necessarily good fits for everybody. And again, we've talked about this a couple times before, but we'll just dedicate this episode and maybe another one after this to these types of topics.
Yeah, I feel like we have so many more questions and we might be able to handle today, but let's see what happens. So I guess, I think also you and I kind of just naturally fall on different sides of this. And I think, you know, one thing that I think is really important for everyone listening to this episode and who's doing a challenge or not doing a challenge. And I had a conversation with somebody else I'm friends with on Facebook that was very, you know, positive and in this direction. But I think it's number one, most important to remember that just because something does or does not work for you, that it does or does not work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing we always talk about with, you know, whether you're paleo, whether you're strict paleo or not, you know, whether you eat dairy, all these other things. So I think just keeping that in mind as we kind of go through our kind of pros and cons and all the thoughts we have on it is that even you and I, like I do really well with challenges and I don't necessarily see it as like this like bad thing or, you know, rules that like someone else has given me. I think it's a very internal, I decide this for myself type of thing. But I know that for you, you just don't jive with that approach and, you know, for your personal, you know, approach to how you eat. And so I think that it's a very different, it's very different. And we have those two perspectives and I think that that's cool. And we can agree that not everybody does well with one way or the other. So that being said, I think that the people for whom challenges work really well are, people who are very type A personality, who are very much, tend to be like black and white in their mindset or who tend to, feel better. And this is, you know, partially describing myself, somebody who feels better taking decisions away from themselves. And, you know, for me, I like having sort of rules that are either set up for me or that I set up for myself, generally that I set up for myself, because I'm pretty like much, you know, I'm always the one to make the rules for myself as an entrepreneur. That's kind of how we tend to be. But I like it because it kind of leaves no room for me to make more decisions. And in the course of a day, I make a lot of decisions. I'm managing a team of about 8 people, and it's just a lot for me to handle. And so if I decide that the way that my nutrition has gone is just a little, you know, looser than I want it to be, you know, there's maybe some more chocolate coming in or whatever, and I'm just not feeling great, not necessarily emotionally, but just physically not feeling great, and I'm feeling like everything else in my life could use a little bit of a reset, it really helps me get back on track. And so if you feel like that helps you, then it could be right for you. Also, if you're somebody who likes to change a lot of things at once. So again, for me, I've done this for years. For, I would say, well before I ever developed the 21-day sugar detox, I have called it shaking the snow globe, where when I decide I want to change something, I don't just change one thing. So for example, in the past, I've decided that I'm quitting a job, then I've decided that I'm moving, and something else major, like within a 1 month period of time. And for a lot of people, that's too much to handle. For me, I like it because it just kind of changes my scenery all around. So picture a snow globe where all that snow, you know, those little plastic pieces of snow are sitting on the bottom, and you literally just turn it upside down and then let everything refall again. And for me, that works really well because I think this is for a lot of people why sometimes making more than one change at once does work. Because for example, if you decide I'm going to start going to the gym, but then you come home and eat the same food you'd been eating, it doesn't actually sort of feed into that other positive change you wanted to make. So you go to the gym, you come home and eat pizza, something that doesn't make you feel great, the next day you're not going to feel great to go to the gym. And so, you know, there can be this problem where if you try and make one small change, the other parts of your life that are kind of still in place aren't supporting that one change. Or sometimes that small change doesn't feel important enough that you might just let it slip. And so that's kind of another thing that if you're somebody who doesn't do well with small changes because you just don't see their importance as much, and you're not going to allow it to have a cumulative positive effect, then a challenge might be a really good thing for you. And I also think that if you know a lot about yourself and your body and what works for you and what doesn't, then that's another time when a challenge can be really good. And I think that for people, you know, a lot of people come to the 21-day sugar detox or like a strict paleo challenge, for example, they might already eat mostly paleo, right? Or maybe they eat pretty cleanly most of the time. This time of year, and I again can speak from example, just after being on vacation for 2 weeks, it becomes a little bit of like an overload, you know, and it's just, I had too much to drink. I think some folks who saw me posting on Instagram or Facebook, I had indigestion for quite some time, which I never have typically, and too many treats and sugar and dairy and all the stuff that I don't normally eat at home. And I could definitely come back home and just say, okay, I'm not going to eat it. But for me, I like setting up some rules where I just say, okay, this is what I'm doing. I don't really have to think more about it. So I think those are the kinds of people, and again, myself lumped into that, that it works really well for. I don't know if you maybe, Liz, can give some more thoughts on people who it works for, even though it's not your personal experience, and then maybe we can talk about folks who it's not good for.
It's kind of hard for me to draw a line like it works for this type of personality, and I think it definitely, you have a huge point about the whole type A thing, but I think for me it's more, and I guess this plays into that as well, what mindset are you bringing to it? Because I know there are some type A massively, you know, orthorexic folks mm-hmm. who are struggling that probably don't need to go there, maybe kind of need to do some counseling in the other direction. But for me, you know, I started out with like a 30-day challenge. And then of course, like I did the whole like pizza and beer thing a little bit after that. And then maybe we did another one and then didn't backslide so much. And then I just kind of changed the way I look at food. And now I'm pretty confident with all the decisions that I make, but it was appropriate for me. I think at one time in my life, it was a decent introduction. It worked well. And it was a way to sharpen some non-existent cooking skills. Or, I mean, I never even made a chicken breast before that. Never. So that was important and that was good. It kind of threw me into that space where I was uncomfortable, but we figured it out and it was fun. And that's where my like original blog was born, back before it was Cave Girl Eats. Before that, mm-hmm. it was Jers Elizabeth. So I wouldn't even be here if it hadn't for, you know, been for a 30-day type challenge. But for me now, maybe I'm just not, maybe it's that I have other things that need my mental space. I'm not the mm-hmm. best multitasker. I don't really thrive thinking of a million different things at once. So right now it's like getting ready for baby. And before that it was building the farm. And before that it was getting through deployments. And for me, imposed structure is not liberating like it is for other people. For me, I really need to have an attitude of just let it be, you know, just kind of take life as it comes and do the best I can in every moment versus having this plan where I feel like if I fail, it says something about me personally. So that's totally a mindset thing, you know, mm-hmm. and maybe one day that'll change for me and I'll just be like, hey, I want to tighten it up. I want to make some rules and whatever, and it'll work great. But right now, when I want to tighten things up, I more focus on, hey, am I getting in the good foods? Like, am I getting in the leafy greens? Am I taking my cod liver oil? Am I getting in egg yolks and other fertility foods? Am I eating my liver? And a lot of times when I just focus on that, every single meal, asking myself, what's the best I can do with this meal? It kind of crowds out all the other choices. And that's kind of the approach that works for me. So this mindset stuff, you and I talk about it. Summer Inanen talks about it. She's a total just dynamo on this topic. But I think the mindset that you bring to something like this is the number one first thing you need to ask yourself. You don't need to say, do I need to lose weight, or do I need to improve my performance, or whatever it is. Do I need to evaluate where I am, my headspace right now, before I approach this challenge so I can actually be successful at it? Because if you're coming at it from a right. place of dysfunction or a place of self-loathing, that mm-hmm. self-loathing is not going to go away just because you lose a couple of inches. I mean, maybe it feels like it does, but I really think those seeds are just, they're planted and you can't like yank them out of the soil unless you really, really do that work mentally and emotionally.
I think that kind of comes back to that email that I was talking about earlier, the one that I sent about what to do in the new year and some tips. And the first point was finding your why. Mm-hmm. And I think that to your point about, you know, why are people doing it? I have a really, really big issue with anybody deciding to do a strict challenge as a form of punishment mm-hmm. or as a form of like, I don't know if the right word is like repentance or something like that, where it's just, you know, I was bad, now I'm going to be good. It's not about good and bad. It's just about, or ideally it would be about physically maybe not feeling great, you know, sometimes, and the holidays are a perfect time for that. You know, we don't tell people to keep things super strict at holiday parties and all that stuff. We want people to have a good time. And if they enjoy, you know, eating something that they might not normally, we always say like, do, you know, make that decision and do what you're going to do. But I think sometimes people just decide, okay, I want to draw a hard line for myself because it'll help me. If it's going to support you in maintaining the changes, then I think it's a positive thing, you know? And if it's going to be a form of punishment, I think that's just, it just kind of like spurred me to think about that, especially. And then we had a question about this, you know, what if you slip like a few days in or week in or however far in? And I just think punishing yourself or making yourself feel badly about it is never the right thing to do.
Here's the crappy thing. A lot of gym, maybe we should differentiate quickly before we go forward. I just did a little review of the 21-Day Sugar Detox on my blog, finally, because I am a fan of the program. When I really got to know it, there's support, there's the why, there's, you know, structure, but not punishment. And what I really... when I really got soured on 30-day challenges was when I was looking through somebody's basically gym-created curriculum that said something about, if you do this, if you make this mistake, you have to do 100 burpees. And that is BS. Like, building the punishment right into this 30-day challenge to me was completely toxic. So maybe we need to draw that line.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, it's something that as I've coached my team of moderators over the years, we've always told people, you know, if you slip up on something and you, a lot of times people just mistakenly eat something, like legitimately, they didn't realize it had an ingredient, then they found out after the fact and they're like, oh no, am I a horrible person? And do I have to start over? And it's just like, no, don't beat yourself up for it. The whole point of the challenge should really be, obviously, first and foremost, you want to physically feel better because maybe you're putting better food into your body. But I think the point of the challenge and your story about how that's how you started and now it's kind of not really what you do, but it ebbs and flows, it's to teach you something, right? Like the whole point of the challenge isn't to then eat that way for forever. It's to teach you something about how you feel when you do eat this way, you know, which foods work for you, which ones don't, and then how can you proceed forward? And so if we're teaching people that one mistake means they've screwed up the whole thing and that they're like basically a failure, then, you know, it's really setting themselves up for this like mental beatdown. And I think that it's, you know, what we always tell people is it's up to you. You know, do you feel like, you know, did you get significantly glutened on day three and you're really feeling ill from it, you know, and do you want to restart because you want to restart? Like, it's totally up to you. You can figure that out. But I think that's a really good point too.
So obviously whether or not a challenge is for you is one thing, whether in the mental headspace to accept it and learn from it as you actually want to. But I guess some things to look out for would definitely be, number one, are there punishments for slip-ups in this challenge that you're taking on? I think a lot of gyms design challenges for their people and, you know, with the best of intentions, because I think we've had a couple of questions about like the, you know, the gym designs a challenge and then the people hate it because you can't drink. And then other people are dealing with these punishments for like, it just kind of sets up this craziness. So I think maybe if we're speaking to gym owners, please be very, very careful about how you put these forward to your people, because we really are supposed to be in the business of getting people healthy. And I think you need to, you know, you're not responsible for babysitting people's mental state, but you do need to make sure you're providing something that achieves that. Because otherwise, I mean, there could be physical consequences. There could be people getting injured because they're not well nourished, or because you made them do 100 burpees because they had a sip of wine. There's just, it's like a web. It's a tangled web, really.
Well, we want to also cultivate positivity with the challenge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cultivating any sort of negative experience or emotions, you know, look, these challenges are hard enough. So punishing or penalizing people for something that might go wrong, I think the better way to approach it is really to use it as an educational tool. Something goes wrong. How do you prevent that in the future? Like, what made you make that decision? And, you know, is it something you thought through, or were you being impulsive? And just kind of support them and helping them to figure out like what was the scenario there. And was it, at the end of the day, they're an adult and they made a decision. And if that's the case, that's their prerogative. Like, they can do whatever they want. And just move on. You know what I mean? And of course, people can design their challenges to have points for X, Y, or Z. I just don't think there should be certain penalties, because I do think that does breed kind of the wrong mentality around that. So do we want to maybe just talk a little bit more about some of the downsides? Have we even gotten into more of that?
Not so much. By the way, though, you make a great point about how people... I think gym owners have to deal with people a lot of times who just want to make an excuse for everything. Like, oh, but this is so hard because I got this and this is going on and that. And people that just want to talk about it and talk about why they can't do something. You can feel free to say, that's your prerogative. I can't help you anymore. You know, I support you. I want you to work hard, but this isn't for you. And, you know, I can't spend a lot of time babysitting you emotionally if you're not going to engage one way or the other. That's cool. You don't have to sit there and babysit people and play psychologist for hours and months and days and weeks and whatever, because you feel like people need some mindset help. But there are people that you just can't help.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah. I think the people for whom challenges aren't right, I think that's kind of where we lead into next, because if it's not right for them, if they're constantly making excuses, I think there's probably a couple of categories of people who it's not right for. And some of those people are the ones who just consistently false start. If they're getting 3 days in and they're constantly sort of self-sabotaging, they're doing something and it might not be right for them to do a challenge like that, because their head isn't in the right space. They're not doing it for the right reasons. And that doesn't make them a bad person. So if you start challenges over and over and constantly sort of fail them or kind of give up on that promise you made to this big challenge, maybe the challenge is not right for you. You know, it's like sometimes I think this is a common thing that happens with, you know, what people have done on quote unquote diets for a really long time, where it's like they feel like they failed because they didn't stay on the diet. And truthfully, sometimes the diet has failed you. Maybe you didn't feel good eating that way, or it just wasn't practical for you. And so I think that that's kind of the other side there. So what else are your thoughts on, you know, folks who are in that other kind of headspace where it's not the right thing for them?
Well, we had one gal write a post, and she said to us, "Paleo parents had a post about disordered eating histories and doing too many of these sorts of challenges. I did used to starve myself in high school, and I do catch myself in that kind of thinking 20 odd years later. So what are some ways I can strategize and not slip into disordered eating?" And that's kind of one of those red flags. Like, we've already made that differentiation between programs that provide appropriate support, that don't create this feeling of mental turmoil, and that are overall basically advocating a healthy approach. We had some questions about Advocare that maybe we'll get to later in this episode and then the next episode. So challenges that are more punishing or more maybe based around fake food, we've separated those two things here. So you've got the healthy challenges that can be right for some people, and then you've got the personalities that are interacting with that challenge. So if somebody came to me and said, "I have a history of orthorexia," I think that's where you have a red flag. And I don't know, Diane, do you think those types of people can modify a challenge to make it work for them, or do you think it would always be toxic?
I don't know. I think that I think it really depends on the person, because, you know, with everything we talk about, I don't think it's so, you know, that there are polar opposites. It's like there's an A or a B and you're always just one or the other. It's right. Kind of like the whole introvert, extrovert. Are you an extroverted introvert and all that stuff? So when I think about it, for example, a lot of times I will give myself my own construct of whatever it is I want to do. And it's not someone else's program. It's my own rules of what I want to do, because I know what works for me. And so I think that there are people out there who, you know, maybe they see what the 21-day sugar detox entails, for example, and they've got something about their diet and lifestyle that they want to include that's not included on the program. I think it's like whatever you want to do, you can do. Now, I think, you know, the downside to that is if you come into a program and you say, "I'm doing the 21-day sugar detox," and you have expectations that match the results and, you know, some of the feelings and outcomes that people have had who've gone through the program, and you don't have the same experience, I can't tell you what's going on if you're not actually doing the program as it's written. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the downside of that. But I do think that, first of all, I always recommend if somebody has done a program at least one time and they want to just kind of look at their own lifestyle and what they normally eat, and if there's something about the program that, you know, they don't need to follow that the second time through, for example, but they like the other parts of the program, go for it. I think, you know, it can become a downside if you're making, for example, Shakeology is not included in the 21-day sugar detox. I get a lot of questions about it. Seriously, I get a lot of questions about it. And I don't have anything personal against Shakeology. It's just not part of the program. I've read the ingredients. I think that people use it as a crutch and don't always want to make real food for breakfast, or, you know, they're not making fresh food-based smoothies. And I want to promote that. That's what I want people to do for 3 weeks. Now, if somebody has gone through the program one time and they say, "Well, I just want to have my Shakeology and sort of do the 21-day sugar detox," well, at that point, you're not actually doing the program, but you are free to do your own version of it and what you want to do. What I would tell people then is to not like hashtag a picture with 21DSD if it's including something that's not on the program, because it does confuse people who are on it. But in terms of, like, you know, is it helpful to do that for some people? Yeah, do whatever you want, whatever you think works for you. And heck, you know, I tell people, you don't even have to do my program. If you want to create something that's what you want to do to, you know, just get sugar out of your own life, totally do that. You know what I mean? I think sometimes the challenge itself might be something that just spurs you or motivates you. And then if you want to create your own rules about what you're going to do, I mean, that's That's sort of what a lot of people did in the past when they would just try and think of something like my, I don't know, I did this a long time ago before I ever knew of any diets or anything. I was like, well, I'm just not going to drink soda. I kind of thought of like the three things that were probably impacting me the most. This was years and years and years ago. And I was like, okay, I'm only going to allow myself to have one soda and it's going to be on Sunday. Like when I'm out to dinner with my girlfriends and I'll have a soda and no ice cream and no fried foods. Like that was whatever it was. Like those were my rules back in the day when I wanted to make a change. And I made those rules for myself and I stuck to them. And so if that works better for you, if you're somebody who like having a construct that someone else has created just makes you a little cray cray, I don't think it's going to be beneficial, you know?
So the question being, sorry. So what are some ways I can strategize and not slip into disordered eating? That's kind of that compromise where, okay, you're going to look at the framework of a program, but number one, trust yourself to maybe make some modifications that aren't going to make you cray cray, because you really, this is not like, these types of things are not prescriptions. They're not take three times a day. And if you take it off label, then, you know, you're screwed or whatever. You have to have some kind of self-determination going into them so you can make those decisions. Like, I know myself, this is the behavior that I catch myself slipping into 20 some odd years later, as our reader or as our listener said. And one way that she could strategize that is to say, where are the places that I can tighten things up meal by meal following these guidelines, but where can I be a little bit forgiving?
I think one of the things about the programs that are out there is that there's so much community support. And so if somebody does need help or has a question, then if you're on the 21 Day Sugar Detox and you come into the Facebook group, for example, or you go into the member forums, there are other people who are doing exactly what you're doing who can help you. And so sort of the downside to making your own rules is that you're sort of on your own. You know, there's not somebody there who's like, oh, I'm here, you know, you can eat this instead. And then, you know, you have to tell them, well, I'm allowing myself to include this, that, and the other thing. You know what I mean? So if you're not all kind of doing the same thing, and I think if people are not good with like groupthink mentality or are not good with that, then it's going to be tough for them. But strategizing and not slipping into disordered eating, you know, neither of us are disordered eating experts, but I do think that making sure that what we talked about earlier with the whole punishment issue and, you know, the idea of being a bad person, if you slip up, removing all of that, I think is pretty much the most critical thing. And recognizing that the programs are there to teach you something. And so at that moment where you feel yourself getting into something that you think is a little bit disordered, you're, you know, stop and identify that it's happening and kind of ask yourself why it's happening. You know, is it because the rules are too strict for you? Is it because you're hungry and, you know, the program doesn't allow you to eat certain things that you want to eat? Is it because you made it more strict than it needed to be, which is a huge, huge, huge thing that I see all over the place, within the sugar detox, within just paleo, whether or not people are on a challenge, so many people restrict more foods than they should or than they need to. And this is a huge one in the 21 day sugar detox. And one of the reasons why I put energy modifications, because I frankly do believe that there are people who need more of certain types of fuel than others. You know, someone who is sitting on the couch all day or is at an office, you know, at a desk all day and is not physically active and maybe doesn't even work out. Like, I have no problem with someone who doesn't CrossFit or train or work out at all coming to my program. I am here to help anybody who wants some help, but that person doesn't need a couple hundred grams of carbs a day to fuel them. They will feel fine without all of that. That being said, if somebody exercises almost in any capacity outside of just maybe light yoga or walking or just, you know, light gardening or something like that, won't require extra energy, for example, from food. But anybody else really needs to follow those energy modifications. And so I outline it so that it's there for you to follow. But time and time again, I see people saying, well, I'm just going to not have it until I see if I need it. And I'm like, well, I've explained to you that you will need it. Otherwise, you might end up in this place where you're just consistently restricting yourself beyond what the program has outlined. And I think that that, I think it's really important to not do that. It's really important to understand that those of us who create these programs have our reasons for everything. And sometimes we can't explain it in an Instagram response or even on Facebook. It's really important to read the materials that we've created because, you know, for example, in the FAQs or all of the information in the books really tells you, you know, why. Why are you getting more carbohydrates, for example, on the sugar detox if you're training? And it's because after almost, it's coming up on 5 years of running this program, I know what people will need and I know it will serve them. And I also know that doing it harder or, you know, more strictly does not prove for better results. And that's exactly the same thing you and I talk about all the time on the podcast. You know, paleoing harder doesn't make it work better. You know, and it's kind of the same thing with a challenge, but it almost gets worse, you know, with a challenge because people are like, these are the rules. And now I'm going to also remove this. And it's like, well, that's not the program either. You know, now you're making it kind of more intense than it needs to be. These things are hard enough.
They are hard enough. And you do have to understand, like, there are probably these programs are designed a certain way for a reason. And it's not always the number of calories, carbs, grams of protein, those right. types of things. It's not all this concrete functional thing. Some of the ways these programs are designed are to take into account the mental stuff, the performance stuff, the lifestyle stuff, the sleep, the stress, hormones, all of those types of things. So it does come to this point where you have to understand that nothing is done arbitrarily, but this over-focus on strictness and yes, no, must restrict carbs more because this is sugar detox, must not have, you know, acorn squash. That you're pushing yourself into kind of arbitrary territory where this stuff, it's not necessary for you to go that far. I don't know. I think I never really thought about it the way you just put it, but just putting extra restrictions on yourself for arbitrary reasons or just for reasons of being overly strict. And another thing I want to say is that bad things don't necessarily happen because you have your green-tipped banana. I think that people are still so paranoid about carbohydrates, and maybe when they go out and they get the 21-day sugar detox program, they're thinking this means no carbs, and then you give them these guidelines about who needs carbs, who might not need carbs, and also see what works for you. And people just get scared. They're like, I got this program because I'm supposed to get off all the carbs. And that's not necessarily the point. The point is to change the relationship with carbs, with your body, with your mind, and how you, I don't know, use them. I just have this thing about carbohydrates because we worry about them so much. And I think the 21-day sugar detox is a really great job of balancing that and helping people create a more functional relationship with carbohydrates. But you're right, like people freak out. They really freak out. And I want people to know that I've had an apple, a banana, and berries today, and I'm fine. And I've done that a lot of times before in my life, and I'm fine. You really aren't going to screw yourself up. And I think we had a lot of questions coming in that maybe we'll tackle in the next show about what do I do if I slip up and have too much fruit? Move on.
I know. And, I don't know if you can hear this horrible lawnmower in the background, so hopefully you can't, but it's like insanely loud, or trucks driving by or any of that good stuff.
I'm good. Can't hear
but
it.
Yeah, you know, a huge thing that happens too is that folks, they come into the program and, you know, I can mostly just speak from obviously my own program experience, but if you go into a program and you don't actually read the materials, perhaps you read, you read what's in and what's out, and you don't take any time to read anything else about it, you really don't set yourself up for success. And so a huge thing that I see happening is that folks grab the yes, no foods list, which, you know, you're kind of like alluding to, yes, no, these are the rules, but that's kind of it's the core of sort of a guide for people so that if you're at the grocery store and you're shopping, you know, what do you buy? Can you hear that? It's so loud.
A little bit. It's good though.
Okay. Oh my God. It's so loud.
So loud.
You know, it's sort of, what do you buy? What is going to be like a good choice for you or a healthy choice? And how can I just like make it easy for myself? But the truth is people have forgotten to read the limit foods list, where it's like, it's on that limit foods list because I don't want people to eat 10 cups of it in a day, but I want them to know that it's not excluded. And people consider that as a no food because I've asked them to limit it. Or people will not read any of the supportive materials, the frequently asked questions, or any of sort of the background information on each level or the modifications, for example, and just dive in. And so as much as, you know, as much as someone can tell you, oh, it's basically just this or that, and then you're allowed to have this or that, like, okay, that's all well and good. I don't want anyone to feel like they have to be excluded because they didn't buy something. But at the same time, there's a reason why I put this stuff into printed materials, into a book, into an online program, because quite frankly, I can't give you a one pager or two pager and say that's all there is to it, because there's more to it. And I think part of what goes into it is helping you to understand the whys behind it, or understand, you know, just some of the different angles so that it does make sense, so that you don't, you know, put yourself in a position where you're restricting more or kind of beating yourself up if you, you know, ate an extra piece of fruit. You know, like it happens pretty often. Folks will be like, oh, shoot, I ate, you know, three pieces of fruit the first day, and I just realized I wasn't supposed to do that on the program. I'm like, okay, so just learn from it and move forward. You know what I mean? It's not this crazy, ah, you're horrible, you can't do the program. You know, it's like, we don't like kick you out. You know, you're not kicked off the island. So that's kind of my thought there. I think we have a few more questions here. I know we've got one here from Paleo Allie, who I know in real life. Hi, Allie. Do you want to grab some of these? And I know we have one question on transitioning after a challenge that perhaps we can, well, maybe we have to address both of these next time. It looks like we have probably come up to our allotted amount of time for today's episode.
Yeah, the last time I looked, it was like 20 minutes and now it's 55. I think we've set some groundwork here, and I think it'll probably encourage more people to submit questions and thoughts. And maybe the next episode we can really focus on questions and feedback and whatnot. What do you think about that?
I think that sounds good. I definitely think, what do I want? I definitely think one thing I want to address in the next episode is what to do after the challenge and kind of how to transition, because I do get that question a lot. And for folks who are in the 21 DSD, I'm working on some additional materials to support you for transitioning out that I'm hopefully going to be able to upload into the membership site. Maybe I'll be able to do something with it for the folks who have the book and aren't online as well, in order to help you before the end of this month's detox. So it's stuff that's been on my mind already. So yeah, I think we've just got a lot more to talk about. So we'll have to wrap it up into next week.
All right. So do we have any special tips here or?
Yes, I'm going to give folks a kitchen tip. Okay.
Sorry, Scott.
we may or may not have left appropriate space for that.
I don't think so. Because I just saw this clip with Randy from Vital Choice. Are you doing that?
I think folks probably got all of our awesome little interview clips that I had with Randy. And I'll see if I want to bring him back, if he wants to come back.
Very good.
Let us know, you guys, if you liked those. I thought they were awesome. I learned a lot from him just chatting for a few minutes. So anyway, I digress. My kitchen tip for this week, since we're talking about the 21-day sugar detox, is about green apples. If you buy green apples at the grocery store, which are part of the program, first of all, I would love for people to buy organic green apples whenever possible. They're definitely one of the dirty dozen, I think, pretty consistently, which means that pesticides will be pretty abundant in green apples. And that's pretty much true for any fruit or vegetable that you're eating that has a thin skin that you might also eat. And so while pesticides and things don't always just live on the skin, obviously things can be absorbed and are coming through the water that these plants are eating. But it's always important to recognize when you're eating the skin on something that that is one to definitely look for organic. But that's not the point of my tip this week. If you store your green apples right next to something like a banana that maybe started out pretty underripe and green tipped as you wanted it to be for the program, it will ripen other fruit faster. So this can be really beneficial if you bring home some super hard avocados and you want to eat them sooner. You can definitely put your avocados right next to your green apples. And I generally keep all of that stuff on the counter I sometimes will put apples in the fridge, but if you have your green apples next to your bananas, which is a really common thing that folks are doing, start buying both of those, your bananas will go brown a little bit faster. So separate them, put them on opposite sides of the room, put a piece of masking tape down the middle, just like sisters that are fighting, or maybe that was just me. I'm just kidding. I think I pretty much saw that on TV and was like, we need to do that. You stay over there.
Yeah.
But that's my tip. It can be really helpful, again, for avocados. And you can also ripen an avocado a little bit more by sticking it in a brown paper bag. And I think putting it in a brown bag with an apple will help it go even faster. So for those of you who are hastily making your guacamole with your unripened avocados, there's a way to ripen them up a little bit faster beforehand. Do you have a tip for people this week?
My tip is go to babymakingandbeyond.com and sign up for the mailing list.
I'm going to sign up, but I don't want to make a baby.
You know, every time we talk about anything baby related, this is the text I get from Diane. Ew.
I'm really into a lot of things. Babies are not one of them.
I tell you, I'm not really into babies either. So this is going to be interesting.
I love you. I'm definitely like scared right now.
Tell me about it.
I lose all my friends to this whole thing of procreation. What's happening?
I don't know. You birth a lot of babies though.
Maintaining the species, man. You guys, I don't know.
Look, I kind of thought for a while that it was my duty not to procreate, just to not saturate this world with more human beings. But then I decided maybe I can contribute something decent to the world.
Maybe a couple more. I think your babies will be pretty awesome.
They'll be good. And my partner for the Baby Making and Beyond program is Meg, the midwife. She's amazing. She's on Instagram, hashtagging Baby Making and Beyond already. So go follow her on Instagram. Unfortunately, I think she just changed her name on Instagram. And I think it's Meg. Let's see. Yeah, she changed it. So it's MEGHANNE_reburn, REBURN, aka Meg, the modern paleo midwife. So head over there and follow her because she's amazing, super, super smart, and already hashtagging baby making and beyond. So there you go. So that's it for this week. Find Diane at DianeSanFilippo.com and join me at RealFoodLiz.com. Join our email list for free goodies you don't find anywhere else on our website. And while you're on the internet, leave us an iTunes review. We'll see you next week.
It's time for us as a people to start making some bone broth.